You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Yeah! Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, June 16th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And unfortunately, we have to open up this Monday's show as we opened up last Monday's show by saying farewell to another strong state advocate for marijuana rights. Right here in the state of Oregon, longtime activist, disabled patient Jim Gregg passed away this morning. He was a fixture at the State House in Salem. I saw him just about every time I went down there for a protest or a hearing, and it just won't be the same going to Salem and not seeing Jim Gregg roaming the halls anymore. But his fight lives on in the many people that he mentored throughout the years here in Oregon to help educate legislators and to help fight for an end of marijuana prohibition. So Jim, we will be passing marijuana legalization this November in your honor. All right, let's go to our virtual studio in Colorado where we've got Priscilla Seibin waiting nearby. How you doing, Priscilla?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I hope you had a good weekend.
I did, actually. My Spurs from San Antonio won the champion, the NBA, so I'm really ecstatic.
You're in Denver. You're not a Nuggets fan. You're a Spurs fan. How'd that happen?
Well, I was raised in Texas, in San Antonio. It's my hometown. I gotta keep representing my hometown.
All right. Well, congratulations to the Spurs, even though you did beat the Portland Trailblazers. Though I gotta say, the Trailblazers and the Heat both lost 4-1. They both lost all four games by 15 points or more. But the Trailblazers, the game we won, was at home by 11. The Heat won on the road by 2. So I say the Blazers did better than the champs. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the Heat's just a lot of hype.
I think you're absolutely right. I think we may be seeing the end of the, you know, the big three concept in basketball where they just get three superstars and think they can beat a team. Because I tell you, San Antonio showed that if you play team basketball, you're going to win, especially if you play good defense.
That's what's up. Represent.
Represent. All right. Well, we'll talk to Priscilla in our 420 Radio News, which is coming up right after this first break. Also on the show today, we'll have time to go behind the headlines where the Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area cops are terrified, terrified, I tell you, that legalization is going to put them out of a job. So they've issued a report, and it was covered by the Oregonian today. We're going to take that apart in behind the headlines and show you the scaremongering that it is. Also on the show today, it's Monday, so we get our regular weekly dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Got a lot of question and answer for Dr. Mitch today, including that study that says that frequent marijuana use may affect men's sperm. We'll ask Dr. Mitch all about that one. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant. New York State is stepping deeper into the medical marijuana box canyon. We'll tell you about the demands Governor Andrew Cuomo has for medical marijuana before he will sign a bill. And they've got Thursday. Thursday is the end of the legislative session in New York. Governor Cuomo's holding that bill hostage. We'll tell you exactly how and why. Also on the show today, in hour two, we'll take you into Toker Talk Radio, where you can be the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. We'll also get a visit from Bacon Dan, who'll be bringing us a classic rock tune for today's Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes. All that's coming up on the Russ Belleville Show, live from beautiful Portland, Oregon. We'll be right back with the news after these short messages.
Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. The Marijuana Business Association, or MJBA, are proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show. It is the mission of the MJBA to establish integrity and legitimacy, create common market standards, provide market intelligence, and develop best ethical business practices for participants in the emerging legal marijuana industry, including commercial hemp, medical marijuana, and recreational marijuana for adults. Learn more about the Marijuana Business Association and visit MJBA.net to join today. That's MJBA.net. Stony Sundays, replaying Monday at 1 Pacific on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Priscilla Simon.
Hi, this is your 420 Radio News for Monday, June 16th, 2014. Governor Rick Scott of Florida has signed legislation making his state the ninth to allow the use of cannabidiol oil for medical purposes. Governor Scott said in a statement that, as a, quote, father and grandfather, you never want to see kids suffer, end quote, and that this CBD-only bill will get children the, quote, medication needed to improve their quality of life, end quote. CBD oil will only be available for the treatment of cancer and epilepsy, and unlike other CBD-only states, Florida will have approved producers allowed to grow strains of less than 0.8% THC and greater than 10% CBD. The Republican senators who pushed the so-called Charlotte's Web bill into law expressed hope it would derail the November vote for a whole plant medical marijuana constitutional amendment, with one saying, quote, "I hope the passage of the Charlotte's Web bill shows people we've done the responsible thing and that legalizing euphoric marijuana for functionally recreational purposes would be unnecessary and undesirable," end quote.
Well, that's the quote I've been waiting for in any one of these CBD states that just proves what the intent is behind this for a lot of these legislators. It's not so much about helping sick kids suffer. It's about getting the heat off their ass for being incompassionate toward people, being uncompassionate. This idea that they're trying to float, this thought, this frame they're pushing, legalizing euphoric marijuana. Now it's not being called medical marijuana, you see. Now they're trying to frame it so that CBD is the medical marijuana and the THC is the euphoric marijuana. That's exactly the frame they want to put this in to make people think that medical marijuana is some sort of fraud, that THC is not medical in any sort of way, and that anybody who's pushing for CBD is doing so for what they call, quote, functionally recreational purposes. This is all fig leafing. This is all covered the ass of the politicians who don't want to be on the wrong side of history, as now 80 or 90% of the public supports medical marijuana. We saw this with Governor Corbett in Pennsylvania getting the favorable headline of changing his mind on medical marijuana when actually it was just support of a CBD-only bill. Don't be fooled by this CBD-only stuff. This is just political cover. It's not doing anything to really help the patients that are going to need it, including those kids that need the CBD, because we're finding that they often need different ratios of THC with their CBD for it to be most effective. I don't think this is going to work, though, in Florida. I think the people in Florida are smart enough to support the constitutional amendment, and this won't go down like Proposition 19, where Governor Schwarzenegger signed a decrim bill to try to take the wind out of medical marijuana sales. Legalization sales, excuse me. Go ahead, Priscilla.
Burglaries and robberies at marijuana shops in Denver are down a quarter since 2012. According to the city safety department, Denver suffered 173 such burglaries and robberies in 2012, and 151 occurred in 2013. The city is currently on pace for 130 by year's end, which would be a reduction of over 25% in 2 years and almost 14% from last year. These reductions coincide with and exceed overall reductions in property crime in Denver, where there were 1,789 burglaries and robberies from January through April, down almost 5% from the same period in 2013. These crime figures declined despite the continued difficulty dispensaries and pot shops have in securing banking services, leaving them as all-cash businesses that are more attractive for burglary and robbery.
Boy, these figures don't make any sense, Priscilla. You're saying that we've got 14% less burglaries and robberies in pot shops than last year, but the overall burglaries and robberies went down 5%. It's almost like these pot shops are being burgled and robbed less than other businesses out there. And from what I understand, Denver's supposed to be some sort of chaotic hellscape of apocalyptic fire and demons and pot zombies roaming the street since legalization. It couldn't be safer, could it?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they've got the figures on the buttercrust or like the hostess shops here, but I think, I mean, everything's pretty kosher. Everything's really kosher.
Well, that's good to hear.
New Approach Oregon announced today that they have surpassed 100,000 signatures in their push to put marijuana legalization on the November ballot. On Thursday, the group turned in 83,500 signatures to the Secretary of State, and in a press release today announced the 100,000 figure. The initiative means 87,213 valid signatures before July 3rd, and New Approach Oregon has paid signature gatherers continuing to canvass in order to make sure the goal is reached after invalid signatures are disqualified. According to the campaign, over 10,000 Oregonians a year are arrested for marijuana. New Approach Oregon has spent over $620,000 on the campaign so far and just received donations of $250,000 and $150,000 in the past week. The legalization initiative would allow adults 21 and older to possess 8 ounces and grow 4 plants, create a system of growers, producers, and retailers, each requiring a $1,250 fee and license, and mandate a strict cap of $1.25 per gram in taxation.
There's so many numbers today. It's all
numbers.
Why'd
you do that?
Why do we do that to you? Oh my God. But these are good numbers. We're happy about these numbers. This right. Strict cap. I'm so excited mostly about the recreational marijuana industry that's going to be set up here in Oregon when this thing gets on the ballot and passes. The most recent poll has shown Oregonians 51% in favor, 41% opposed to the generic question of marijuana legalization. I feel when they see the details of this in later polls, they're going to be even more in support for this. And what's really exciting is because we've been talking about this Box Canyon and this tendency for marijuana laws to get more and more and more restrictive. We are going to see in 2014, Oregon pass a really wide open legalization. We're going to see Florida pass in 2014, a pretty wide open whole plant medical marijuana law. So from both corners of the country, we're going to be rebutting this idea that marijuana needs to become more and more restricted. We're going to open things up. In Oregon, we're talking about 8 ounces and 4 plants, but that's not quite all. It's 1 ounce of concentrates, specifically mentioned hash oil concentrates will be legal. 1 ounce of concentrates, 8 ounces of plants, 16 ounces of edibles, 72 ounces of tinctures. That's a 6-pack of tinctures and the cultivation of 4 plants. Now, this is limited on a residential basis. You can only have that in 1 house. So if there's, you know, 4 of you living in a house, you each only get to possess 2 ounces of weed and grow 1 plant. And a lot of people are complaining about that. However, the commercial licensing is at $1,250 for growers, processors, and retailers. So if you want to grow more than 4 plants, spend your $1,250 and get your commercial grower's license. There's nothing in this law that requires you to actually sell any of that marijuana or pay any taxes on it, because if you don't sell it, you don't have to pay any taxes on it. So if you got a household of 4 of you and you want to grow more than 4 plants, kick in each of you, what would it be, $312 a piece, get your annual grower's license and grow to your commercial heart's content. You never really have to sell any of that stuff. And this capping the taxation at $1.25 a gram, it actually works out to $35 an ounce tax. $35 an ounce tax flat. That's it. No sales taxes, no excise taxes. So when Washington State has been up and running, their pot shops are supposed to open next month. They'll have pot shops up and running for 2 years based on 25% taxation at three different levels, plus an 8% state sales tax, plus the limitation of 1 ounce purchases. And they're going to have to try to compete with Oregon just across the river, where we're going to have 8 ounces of marijuana and a $35 an ounce tax. There's no way they'll be able to compete. And every state from that point on is going to have to say, hey, look, if we want to take some of Oregon's business, we've got to come up with better tax rates. It'll work just the way it works today with other businesses that get all sorts of tax breaks and sweetheart deals from states to lure their business in. Oregon and Florida are going to break the logjam. They're going to break through this box canyon, and they're going to lead to greater freedom for all people who use marijuana, sick and healthy alike.
Show Me Cannabis in Missouri has erected a huge billboard in support of medical marijuana. The billboard features a picture of Daryl Bertrand, who suffers from degenerative disc disease and spinal stenosis, and his wife, with the title, quote, "Cannabis Saved His Life, Prohibition Ruined Theirs. Help Missouri Patients Get Access. Text MED, capital M-E-D, to 420-420, med for MO.com," end quote. Daryl had been caught growing 47 marijuana plants after he could no longer take prescription painkillers without destroying his liver. He and his wife received years of probation and lost their playground equipment business over the charges. Since his arrest, Daryl uses no cannabis and deals with constant pain. Quote, "I'm totally miserable," he told the Springfield News Leader, and is helping Show Me Cannabis fight for medical marijuana initiative in 2016.
You know, Missouri could be one of those states, along with Arkansas there, that could break through in the South. I'm really expecting this to happen. I got word from the folks in Arkansas today that they are looking good on their signature counts for a medical marijuana initiative in Arkansas. Missouri has always had a strong activist base. Some of those Missouri activists moved here to Oregon, and they're the ones that are running the New Approach Oregon legalization campaign. So there's strong ties between Oregon and Missouri that way. The people of Missouri are compassionate. They're going to realize that people like Daryl Bertrand and his wife shouldn't have their lives destroyed, their careers destroyed, their reputations destroyed, just because he finally found a medicine that works. This guy's tried all the other painkillers. He's done the surgery. He is the quintessential face of medical marijuana in America today, and the fact that Missouri would treat him as a criminal and through P testing and probation refuse to allow him to gain the relief that he knows medical marijuana can give him, it's cruel and unusual punishment, and it shouldn't be allowed under the Eighth Amendment.
New Mexico's Governor Susana Martinez is proposing changes to the medical marijuana program that have patient advocates protesting. Under the new changes, patients would, for the first time, be subject to a fee to register for medical marijuana. New Mexico's registry has been free, but soon patients may have to pay $50 to register. Patients registered to grow their own medical marijuana would be reduced from a limit of 16 plants to just 8, and would be subject to criminal background checks they must fund out of pocket. Nonprofit producers would be allowed to triple their plant counts from 150 to 450, but the annual fees would triple too, from $30,000 to $90,000. 12 new producers would be added to the current 23, but they will be subject to an application fee that rises from $1,000 to $10,000. One medical marijuana producer explained, quote, "If your intent is to kill the New Mexico medical cannabis program, these proposed rules will do just that," end quote.
God, what a shame here, because New Mexico has been coasting along. They've had about 3,500 patients. They were the first state to explicitly recognize post-traumatic stress in their qualifying conditions. But this Republican governor just wants to take it backwards. And it's, again, it's all fueled by this need to try to keep the so-called criminals out. You know, healthy people who like marijuana. Even though there's really no evidence of that being a problem in New Mexico, it's always the boogeyman the Republicans fear, and they've got to do something to try to stop it. Oh my, oh my, oh my! It's that bell that Big Daddy Fink hates. It's 4:20 in Denver. Priscilla Seibin's about ready to celebrate the Spurs' fifth championship since drafting Tim Duncan. Thanks for the news, Priscilla. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, see ya.
When we come back, we're going behind the headlines. We'll take a look at the Oregonian's report on the high-intensity drug trafficking area in Oregon that fears for its existence.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420... Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. All right, welcome back, everybody. 22, almost 23 after the hour. Time for us to go behind the headlines for the headline today out of my local paper, The Oregonian. It says, medical marijuana in Oregon, state program prone to exploitation and abuse, a report says. Ooh, no, exploitation and abuse. Oh, no. All right, so let's take a look at this report and get a little behind the headlines on this. First of all, it comes from the Oregon HIDTA. That's the High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. Namely, it's the part of Oregon down there in the southwestern corner that's the northern tip of the Emerald Triangle, where a lot of the pot growing is going on. And they release a 70-page report, their annual report. Now, understand that Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area includes state and local cops in Oregon, but it's funded by the feds. You knew that, right? That the feds only give money to cops to go after weed and drugs. They don't give money to local cops to go after murderers, arsonists, thieves, robbers, gangbangers, anything like that, right? You knew that, right? We only give federal money to go after drug crimes. All right, so as long as we know where we're starting from, right? So in their report, they want to complain about how awful the medical marijuana program is. And here's what they say. They say there's a high level of marijuana available in their area, more available than it was in 2013, and that Oregon ranked fourth in the country for cannabis use by people age 12 and older. The top three were Rhode Island, Alaska, and Vermont. So we're number four. Okay, sorry, guys. Hate to have to burst your bubble here, but there was a lot of marijuana in Oregon prior to 1998. That's when our medical marijuana law came into being. But prior to 1998, there was still quite a lot of marijuana.
We were the first state to decriminalize it in 1973. Our lone National Basketball Association championship team, the star on that team was Bill Walton. Have you seen pictures of Bill Walton from the 1970s? We're the only state in America whose state government ever funded a rock festival. Look it up. Look up Matrix, Oregon Rock Festival. So yeah, there was always a lot of weed here. It has nothing to do with medical marijuana. They also note the scare that the popularity of hash oil is on the rise, and there's been 9 BHO-related explosions since 2011. Oh my goodness, 9 explosions in 3 years. That's 3 a year. That's 1 every 4 months. Now, how many explosions occur every Thanksgiving when somebody tries to deep fat fry a turkey? I bet it's more than 3. And how many illegal alcohol moonshine stills have blown up in Oregon lately? I bet it's less than 3. They also point out that between 2008 and 2013, toxicology tests detected more marijuana than any other drug but alcohol, and the rate of detection increased 16% from 2010 to 2013. And by detect, they mean found inert metabolites of marijuana in someone's piss or active THC in someone's blood, indicative of having used marijuana within 4 hours to a week. It says nothing about whether they were impaired at the time. In fact, all this tells us is that cops have worked 16% harder on catching pot-smoking drivers. That's all. They note this accidental exposure to marijuana, the kids that might end up in the emergency room, even though they don't really have any stats for that in Oregon. They do point out that nationally, it's more than tripled since 2005 and 2011, and in the states that passed decrim before 2005. Oh, really? So, like, we decrimmed way back in 1973, and now the pot brownies are a problem? Okay. Also, they complain that caregivers and cardholders in Oregon can grow 12 or 24 plants and have a pound and a half of marijuana, and some people may exploit the program by claiming they're growing for legitimate OMMP patients. What? You mean passing medical marijuana didn't eliminate the law of supply and demand, and that healthy people still want to buy marijuana even though they are not legally allowed to? Gee, what would the solution for that be? Either make 60,000 patients go back to being criminals or legalize it for the healthy people. There's an idea. They complain about home invasion robberies, that they find these grow sites that are rigged with booby traps. Hey, who knew that something illegal would be a strong candidate for a home invasion robbery where the person being robbed would be reticent to have to call law enforcement because it's a crime? How many home invasion robberies have there been lately attributed to people brewing their own beer at home? Oh yeah, not very many. Oh, and of course, today's weed is not your father's Woodstock weed. Its samples are reaching up to 15% THC, the highest ever recorded. Of course, it's not as high as the 100% THC you find in a Schedule 3 Marinol pill. And finally, they complain about how much cultivation is going on in Oregon that the Mexican cartels are becoming a part of it. I have an idea. Let's legalize it and take those jobs from cartel growers and give them to Oregon farmers. All this is the Oregon cops sinking like the T-Rex into the tar pits of prohibition. They're on the wrong side of history, folks. We're back with Dr. Mitch after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense, replaying Tuesdays at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, we're joined by Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Hi, Mitch, how are you?
Having a great day. How about you?
I'm fantastic, and we're just chock full of things to ask you today. Before we do, let me make sure the chat room knows you can get your questions in by chat. Put Q colon in front of it. Makes it easier for us to see. The moderators can help you in the chat room if you're having difficulty. Or you can call our phone line at 971-533-7111. But it's been a while since we got to talk to the good doctor, and lots of stories have cropped up over these intervening weeks. We always like to give Dr. Mitch the first word in cannabis science. So what's the latest you want to talk about?
Literally today, the DAB study that Mallory Laughlin and I worked on has finally come out. I'm predicting that the media will play up the bad and not the good. We found that basically folks who use flower cannabis and folks who use dabs don't have any difference in the problems they report. There's a modest increase in reported tolerance comparing dabs to flower. And then basically everybody thinks that everybody else will have problems with dabs, but they're not actually having them themselves.
Well, that's interesting. Where can people download this study? Is it available online?
As it turns out, I should have a link up on Facebook early tomorrow. So if folks just want to go to my Facebook page, I think I'll have it there.
All right. Excellent. Well, let's get to some of these studies that have made it into the mainstream media as of late. And there's one that's got me really concerned, Dr. Mitch. Apparently, all my pot smoking has caused my sperm to mutate. Is this true?
It's funny because actually I'm getting a weird echo, Russ.
Oh, let me see if
I'm
I can fix that.
I'm hearing myself speak.
All right. Hold on a moment.
Is there anything I can do to turn down my mic?
Yeah. Let me get that. Hold on. Give that a shot.
I just didn't want to sound like I was stoned. the data on this, it's funny because literally back in the 70s, Gabriel Mejias had eight guys in the hospital smoking eight joints a day and donating sperm regularly. I can't imagine what that study must have been like. And then this one is a much larger sample, but they literally put these guys through every single possible variable and everything they could possibly find. And so I really don't want to make too much of this. Yeah, it's consistent with some data we had before, but we're talking about maybe folks having a modest decrease in sperm count or sperm motility, not the kind of thing that would be something you could rely on for birth control.
Gotcha. Now, when I was reading the write-up on this, it said something to the effect of the guys in the sample who had the misshapen sperm. It was because they could determine this because less than 4% of their sperm met the height and weight requirements, I guess. But does that mean somebody who's healthy, they only really have to have 5% of these little wigglers turning out good before, and they'll call it good?
I mean, truth, you only need one, right? So whoever swims best and fastest is the one who makes it. And often what happens is what qualifies as infertility is below that 4% or sometimes even lower. So, no, this is not a reflection on how bad marijuana has affected sperm so much as just how deviant all sperm are.
Yeah, well, you know, my study's just anecdotal, but Willie Nelson has 5 kids, Tommy Chong has 7, and Bob Marley fathered 12 that we know of.
So I wouldn't worry. If you are having trouble conceiving, laying off for a few weeks is, of course, not a bad idea. I only have an N of 2 at my house. I'm not sure what to tell you.
Now, was there any distinction in the study about the type of cannabis being used, whether it was indica, sativa, or anything like that?
Nothing anywhere near that clear. And in fact, it just literally had you smoked cannabis in the last 3 months. And they also, you know, point out that, you know, if your underwear are too tight, that can also alter sperm count. So, I mean, we're not talking about some kind of outrageous toxin here so much as some minor variation because the CB1 and CB2 receptors may be involved in spermatogenesis.
And fortunately, if you are trying to conceive and think that you need to, you know, stop using some pot for a while, marijuana is the kind of drug that lets you stop using it for a while.
And in truth, if your worst withdrawal thing is loss of appetite, you got nothing to worry about.
All right. Let's get to this other study. I saw this one come out in Time magazine saying that marijuana use was linked to sleepless nights, which confused me because I thought a lot of people used cannabis to deal with insomnia.
Well, and what's curious about this is they're kind of trying to get it, it's making people more tired during the day and really trying to play a big deal out of this, when in fact, plenty of folks, if they've got an indica type strain or a sedating strain, use cannabis to improve their sleep, and it tends to be relatively effective. But we do see this REM suppression, so that the quality of sleep can change, and the amount of time spent dreaming definitely does decrease. That's why one of the alleged withdrawal symptoms is strange dreams, so that you have kind of a REM rebound when you lay off for a few nights if you've used for a few days in a row. But again, we're talking about really subclinical, not particularly serious sets of symptoms, so I'm just not sure what to say. If you're having problems sleeping, generally the behavioral interventions are the best ones. So only use your bed for sleep and sex, none of this watching TV, reading, you know, eating, all that other stuff in bed. And then have a regular ritual before bed. So, you know, you have your nice warm shower and then brushing your teeth and having a little time to wind down. I have so many folks who come in and say they have problems sleeping, and they literally have, you know, the iPhone right next to their face, and they're, you know, playing Scrabble in bed and then expect to, like, throw that off the bed and suddenly fall asleep. And it's just not good stimulus control.
Yeah. All right. And like I said, I know a lot of people that are using cannabis as a way to deal with insomnia. So I thought that was a little strange myself. All right. Let's take a look at, this was a good study that came out and something that's illustrated something we've already known, but it's nice to have proof behind it. New York Daily News reports that marijuana could treat autoimmune diseases, the itises, I guess. Could you tell us about that?
Well, it's interesting because basically anything that's linked to chronic inflammation seems to respond well to cannabinoid medicine. So arthritis, lupus, colitis, multiple sclerosis, you know, all of those kinds of things. And they say, it may work by suppressing immune functions. And I think that's kind of scaremongering. It makes it sound like, and you're going to get sick if you use it or something like that. Literally all kinds of green plants have the potential to do this. Actually, cherries, you know, various fruits, like all kinds of stuff that's good for you can decrease chronic inflammation if used in appropriate doses. But, you know, not everybody can eat a half a pound of cherries every night or something like that. And so it just happens to be that THC is stronger and better at it. And so we're seeing lots and lots of basically immunoregulatory reactions to cannabis. And I think that's going to have some amazing implications. It also sort of points out that this idea where states are going to list all these diseases and then approve them for those but not for others is really a bad idea for medical marijuana laws, and that we really should free up some of the latitude for physicians to say, hey, this is a larger inflammation issue. I want to use cannabis regardless of whether this disease is on some list.
Wow, that actually sounds like allowing doctors to make medical decisions with their patients without government interference. How radical.
Scary thought.
Oh, my. The final study I've got, it also came through Time magazine most recently. Strict parents are more likely to have kids that smoke pot. I thought, from a behavioral standpoint, I thought that was quite interesting. What did you find out about this?
In fact, you look at their two parenting styles that sound a lot alike but are actually very, very different. One is authoritarian, meaning I'm the authority, I'm right, so just do what I say. And what a surprise, the kids of those parents run off and rebel and smoke a lot of marijuana. And authoritative, which is much more, look, here's the evidence. Let me reason this through with you why I would prefer you not smoke marijuana until your brain is developed. And then what a surprise, those kids seem to be more willing to wait. And it's a wonderful sort of confirmation of actually some comparable stuff we've seen in the alcohol literature and in general misbehaving. So if you're really, really super lenient or you're really, really super strict, it can be really bad for kids. But if you're willing to reason with them for walking through the rationale for why you would like them to make certain decisions, what a surprise. They're probably willing to think along those same lines you think.
Wow. Treating children with reason and logic. I don't know what's going to come of this. This could only be
like
bad.
People and just might turn into them.
This could only turn out bad. This is good news, actually. And from our chat room, we got people asking about the Minnesota medical marijuana law that just passed, the no plant medical marijuana law. And it looks as though New York Governor Cuomo is trying to push for something similar in New York. What do you think of this new trend toward no plant medical marijuana?
I just don't understand it. I'm not even sure if I can call it medical marijuana. It's great to have access to the cannabinoids in any way, but I'm apprehensive about moving from a plant that we have literally 5 millennia of safety data on to some things that are probably safe, but we just don't have the same level of evidence for.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. We lost the connection. Let me get Dr. Mitch back on the line. Yeah, it just seems odd to me that we would reject the safety profile that we found for cannabis plants. And in a lot of these laws, we're talking about forcing these people to use oil only. Something that's far more potent than what they would be using if they were having access to flower. In the case of New York State, where the governor's talking about not allowing anyone to smoke marijuana again, that's the same kind of idea. So, Dr. Mitch, isn't it strange that they would allow oil, which is more potent, and not flower?
Well, and what's curious is it seems they haven't been paying attention to the data, and if they've been lulled into this, It makes me suspicious about bigger business and not being able to raise your own and not being able to basically provide for your own medical needs. And I'm apprehensive about this being some kind of wild end-around tax or business strategy.
Yeah, you'd think so. It's almost as if it's written by GW Pharmaceuticals, because if they can have a pharmacy or a dispensary that just dispenses oils, pills, tinctures, and inhalers, as soon as they get through FDA trials, they can just replace those with their pharmaceutical products, couldn't they?
Sad but true, and I feel like I understand every physician wants to be able to be pretty clear about dosage, and there may be some advantages for these as far as that's concerned. But again, we just have so much more safety data for plants than we do for all of these that it just doesn't make any sense.
All right, and in our final story that we've got here for Cannabis Science, before we get to it, let me remind folks that if you do have a question for Dr. Mitch and you just don't want to be public about it, you can always send it in by email. We have a contact form at 420radio.org, or you can just email directly to 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. The headline I wanted to end with is this report. I believe Drug Policy Alliance and others had a hand in it, blasting the DEA for 4 decades of obstruction on marijuana. I know Normal had a lot to do with this too, with the 3 lawsuits to reschedule. What do you think about this report, and what kind of response is it getting in the mainstream?
It's funny because nobody would be completely stunned to learn that MAPS and Drug Policy Alliance have been upset with the DEA. But once you lay it all out that it's literally been 40 years of getting in the way of gathering the kind of data that could then dispute this argument that we don't have enough data, it really, really seems like they're caught in a problematic set of lies. And then the fact that the mainstream media haven't jumped on this more really disappoints me and, in truth, makes me a little suspicious.
Yeah, and as far as giving these folks, I know in politics sometimes people need a way to save face, you know, and it seems as if, you know, the DEA and the people who are aligned with them are stuck in this position where the world has moved on without them. You know, the majority now supports legalization, overwhelming majority support medical marijuana. How are they going to be able to save face and avoid saying, you know what, we were wrong. It was wrong of us to lock up pot users.
In truth, I feel like all they would have to do is kind of winkingly say, you know what, we're impressed with the data now, and pretend like they've been really weighing and measuring the pros and cons all this time and had come to this conclusion grandly. And I think that they could pull that off with just a little bit of ribbing. But instead, they're going to get all forceful and hard and more polarized, and that's really going to hurt in the long run.
I like that attitude. We looked really, really hard for 40 years, and now finally, we believe maybe it's not the demon drug that leads straight to heroin.
We've been swayed by the evidence. We're a very rational organization.
It only took 4 decades, and in government work, that's progress.
Exactly.
All right. Well, exactly. Thank you, Dr. Mitch, for all your contributions to Normal and to our show here, and we'll talk to you next week in Cannabis Science.
Great to be back.
All right. When we come back, we'll have more on this subject. We're going to talk about New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his attempt to Minnesotaize the medical marijuana law there, and how that's once again leading us deep into the Box Canyon. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Once again, folks, item J343 is the Surfing Monkey Coin Bank. It's great for graduations, wedding gifts, and I believe we sold out on this one last time, so please do not let this one pass you by. Now let's go to caller Scott in Nashville.
Hello.
Now, Scott, I understand you just bought 15 of our Surfing Monkey banks. Is that true?
Yeah. Chill, man. I'm on TV.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
You can't handle it! handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality.
Down the centuries, you have slurred the meaning of the words, we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is 50 after the hour, and I have submitted a blog post to Huffington Post about this New York Governor Andrew Cuomo marching us deeper into the box canyon of medical marijuana. He's issued a series of demands that he wants to have met before he'll sign the medical marijuana law they've been fighting through the Assembly and the Senate. Now, the legislature is going to adjourn this week, so his delay to announce these demands is clearly not in good faith. His demands would not only make the medical marijuana program largely unworkable in New York State, they are a deep step into the political box canyon medical marijuana laws have become. Now, I've been proposing this box canyon theory of medical marijuana for 6 years. Simply put, it means that if you only fight for medical marijuana, your marijuana will become only medical. It means that the effort to separate cannabis consumers into groups deserving or undeserving of a cage by their medical conditions or lack thereof is always going to leave some undeserving patients out and let some healthy people in. It means that the only true route to lasting relief for all medical marijuana patients is fighting for legalization for everyone, even healthy people. Now, the Box Canyon is a metaphor from the old cowboy westerns, where the gunfighters would be trapped by canyon walls ahead and to either side, unable to go anywhere but backwards into the clutches of the posse or the Indians pursuing them. The Box Canyon occurs politically when tighter and stricter forms of medical marijuana laws are passed to appease the powers that wish marijuana prohibition to continue. We end up being forced to go backwards into the agenda of our opponents, trapped on three sides by the political frames of medical, compassion, and criminals. First, it was the right of doctors, not legislators, to recommend medical treatments. California famously allowed doctors to recommend cannabis for any condition they believed it would help. Advocates explained that these were patients, not criminals, subtly defining a frame where cannabis consumers exist in two flavors, criminal and patient. Advocates presented the sickest cancer and AIDS patients and dared voters to choose compassion over prohibition, defining the frame where hard political choices must be made in favor of the sickest, even if those choices ignore the majority. Advocates even tried whitewashing getting high as medicating, pot parties as medicine evaluations, and healthy people's use of marijuana as all use is medical, thus playing fast and loose with a frame of medical that most people understand as doctors, medicines, and serious illnesses. So, Into the Box Canyon marched the next few states to pass medical marijuana laws. California's medical marijuana law began being described with sarcasm quotes around medical, as the media reported on Venice Beach bikini sign twirlers and 20-somethings getting recommendations at rap concerts. Condition lists were created where legislators decreed exactly for which ailments a doctor would be granted permission to recommend cannabis as a treatment. You know, from all their time in medical school, those legislators. And who could object? Who could object to that? Compassion dictates that we make hard political choices for the sickest, right? We've got to ensure that the program's just about medical, right? Better that the patients have some medical marijuana with restrictions than no program at all, right? Next, it was the right of patients to cultivate their own cannabis. What I consider to be the true miracle of medical marijuana. It's not that cannabis contains these remarkable cannabinoids that contribute to health and wellness. If it's really about THC, CBD, CBN, CBG, and so on, medical science will eventually extract, isolate, refine, and deliver those cannabinoids and their synthetic replicas in consistent, effective dosages. That's the Box Canyon that leads to GW Pharmaceuticals, replacing all the plants in your dispensary with pills, sprays, tinctures, and inhalers that are Schedule 3, prescribed by any doctor, and paid for by health insurance. No, the miracle of medical marijuana is that in order to be healthy, a patient doesn't need a big insurer to fund a big healthcare company that pays a big doctor who dispenses big pharma drugs. A patient can grow a little medicine in a closet or the backyard. That's the miracle. But not since 2010, when Arizona became the first medical marijuana state to deny the right of all patients to cultivate their own medicine. If a patient lives within 25 miles of a dispensary, advocates decided, they should be forced to shop at that dispensary and forbidden from growing their own medicine. That meant some patients funded their own grows after the law passed, and then were forced to abandon them as dispensaries came online in Arizona. It's to the point now where 96% of the population lives within 25 miles of a dispensary, effectively a statewide home grow ban. And who could object? Without that rule, Arizona may never have passed medical marijuana, and compassion dictates that we make hard political choices for the sickest. And it is medical, right? Nobody gets to make their own OxyContin at home. Since Arizona in 2010, none of the recent medical marijuana states have allowed for all patients to home grow. Once law enforcement and their lackeys in the governor's mansions learned advocates would budge on the aspect of medical marijuana that threatens them the most, home grow, they began chipping away at the rest. Chronic pain? Why, too many criminals could fake that. It has to go. Glaucoma? No, we have better drugs that are actually medical. Patients should be forced to use those. Severe nausea? Nah, we don't like that either. Take it out, or none of the cancer patients get any marijuana. And again, who could object? Compassion dictates that we make the hard political choice to help the sickest cancer patients, right? Lately, even the most anti-medical marijuana states have found their own way into the Box Canyon by embracing the cannabidiol, or CBD-only, medical marijuana laws. Seeing that little girl on the Sanjay Gupta documentary who was cured of her epilepsy awoke a firestorm of support from parents seeking that relief, emboldened because they didn't have to take on any of the stigma of being criminals because CBD doesn't get you high. Medical marijuana advocates had been beating red state Republicans with the cudgel of compassion for years. How could the GOP be so afraid of criminals that they'd let a cancer patient suffer? Now the Republicans get the last laugh by passing CBD-only bills that make the medical marijuana story go away and lead to headlines describing their change of heart on medical marijuana. And who could object? Compassion dictates we make the hard political choice to help the epileptic kids, right? With home grow banned, most conditions restricted, and the high removed, the final step into the Box Canyon is to eliminate the marijuana plant entirely. Minnesota just took that step by passing a medical marijuana law that requires shopping at dispensaries for only pills, sprays, inhalers, and tinctures derived from cannabis that patients never get to touch, setting up the exact model of cannabinoid distribution GW Pharmaceuticals seeks to control. Now, Governor Cuomo in New York has demanded that there be an absolute ban on the smoking of any medical marijuana. Patients should only get their cannabinoids in oil and pill form. Patients should not be allowed to share their medicine with each other. Cheating your way onto the medical marijuana program should be a felony. The state should only have 20 dispensaries. The law should sunset in 5 years. There should be no timeline for implementation. Post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury shouldn't qualify. Alzheimer's, ALS, and muscular dystrophy shouldn't qualify. Cancer and HIV/AIDS patients shouldn't qualify to treat the pain, nausea, and wasting associated with their medical treatments. And doctors recommending marijuana should be subject to overrides by the State Department of Health. Governor Cuomo makes these demands today, the last day before the bill could be brokered for compromise in order to make the legal 3-day window for signing before the end of the legislative session on Thursday. So what's it going to be, advocates? Compassion dictates that we make the tough political choices for the sickest, right? Or have our opponents finally marched us deep enough into the Box Canyon for some of us to recognize that another win is actually a loss? We'll take your calls on that in hour two. Coming up next, 971-533-7111. Is there a floor to a medical marijuana bill below which you would not support it? What is a deal breaker to you in a medical marijuana law? How much compassion must we have for how few patients in order for that bill to be a win? We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For Priscilla Seib and I'm Radical Russ, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it.